just in this section of his book. This is the word of God, beginning at verse 5 of Ecclesiastes 8. He who keeps a royal command experiences no trouble, for a wise heart knows the proper time and procedure. But there is a proper time and procedure for every delight or everything, though a man's trouble is heavy upon him. If no one knows what will happen, who can tell him what will happen? No man has authority to restrain the wind with the wind, or authority over the day of death. And there is no discharge in a time of war, and evil will not deliver those who practice it. Thus far, the word of God. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we turn now to find wisdom from your hand, we ask that you teach us and be with us as we prepare our hearts to serve you in the coming week. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. As I was preparing the message for tonight, methinks I hear a wistful Solomon's voice saying in our text, or behind the text, if only I had followed the instructions I'm writing here. We've been working with the conclusion drawn in general that Solomon is the center of his past sins. And we've drawn the conclusion that he's full of remorse and wants to teach his children and others who read his book to live more faithfully to God. Well, if so, he has repented of his foolish life and learned the true wisdom that comes from God. In any case, though certainly he wants us to be wise, that's why he's written the book. And his words here truly evoke two of his father David's best writings. Turn to Psalm 119, one more. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. You might remember that David was his father, and he wrote about the law most faithfully in Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. This is what he wrote. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness, and walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. And then listen to Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And he is evocative of his father's writings in those texts. And Solomon's whole point in these verses 5 to 8 of chapter 8, is that wisdom will always help you to cope with life in a fallen world. Wisdom will always help you to cope with life in a fallen world by leading you to apply the Lord, the law of God, to your situation and circumstance. That's where, as we saw last week, we need to begin with the law of God, the 5 books of Moses. Now will be the reference to that here as well. You need to learn to apply the law of God to your situation and circumstances. Well, given that, what if I were to tell you that you must begin seeking wisdom with the law of Moses? The Hebrew translation of verse 5 says, keep the commandment and do not acknowledge an evil thing. I know that sounds different than the English, but it's a tricky passage, and that's the translation I'm confident of, as I found out with the help of one of my commentaries. Keep the commandment and do not acknowledge an evil thing. The life of a wise person is expressed by simple obedience to the law of Moses. That is what Solomon is saying here. By definition, such a faithful man or woman, such a faithful boy or girl, recognizes that the evil of the world comes from the fall in God's curse on man in the fall. Romans chapter 3. Verse 2, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good, not even one. That's just a fact. And that's the reason for the evil in the world. They neglect the law of God. They break the law of God. And therefore, Solomon says, the one who will seek to align his behavior with God's law is the wise man. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8, made that point eloquently. Why is that the case? Because the wise man or the wise woman, the wise boy, the wise girl, understands the times he or she lives in and exercises judgment appropriate for the times. In other words, they live in an evil time. They are able to appropriately use the word of God to evaluate their situation, evaluate the options of response, and do so and act faithfully in response. In all his actions, the wise man's first question is this: what do you want me to do, Father? Using the word Father to evoke the memory of Jesus, I always do what my Father says I should do. Just like Jesus always did, the wise person will ask, what do you want me to do, Father? You see a situation that's uncomfortable. You see a situation that's sinful. You see the world behaving in a certain way. What do you want me to do in response, Father? It's something we easily neglect. Asking God, how do I respond? Sometimes we try to just respond, sort of like if we had a hammer applied to our knee by a doctor, we just kick out. That's not the way to respond. He is telling us here, keep the command of God. He keeps a royal command or a commandment, experiences no trouble. No trouble at all. Why? Because he understands the time. He understands the times that they're evil. So loathing the evil and loving the goodness of God and righteousness, he defaults to obedience to the law of God. Remember last week, we emphasized, study the law of Moses. Know what the law requires. Get that fixed in your heart and your mind. Follow the law. And with David, the wise person says, the law of the Lord is perfect, making wise the simple. Psalm 19, verse 7. So the law of God is the chief act stored on the brain. I have a Sunday school class with people who, without my telling you, swipe to the correct Bible verse by touching the app on the screen. And if you are wise, the law of the Lord will be the chief act stored on the brain, and the wise person will use it to tell him or her what to do, and use it to give advice to others who want to know what to do. It is the law of God. In all his actions, then, he does that. Why? Because what he understands at times is they are evil. Can anybody possibly make a case in this room that we don't live in evil times? How many dozens of millions of babies have been murdered since 1973? What kind of lifestyle are they trying to foist on our children in the public schools? And the law doesn't favor biblical thinking at all. Not now. Not now. So loathing the evil, loving the goodness of God and righteousness, they default to the law of God, the wise people do. And when he needs guidance, the wise person goes to the law to evaluate his choices for responding to life. And then he or she looks to Christ as a perfect example of good judgment and righteous living and seeks to follow his lead. And the word of God is very clear. You have four Gospels. Then you have the Word of God and the rest of the New Testament, Christ's Word through his apostles. And furthermore, the wise person recognizes that everything he or she must do, for everything he or she must do, there's a proper time and procedure. Do it in. That's why Solomon says he knows, a wise heart knows the proper time and procedure. For example, Jesus' decision, as we saw in John chapter 11, to wait 2 days before leaving. It wasn't the proper time to go when Lazarus was sick. The proper time in the Father's eyes was to wait until Lazarus died so he could raise him from the dead. And he went when the Father said to go, and no sooner than that. Solomon had a similar experience. Remember the case of the baby with the two mothers disputed whose it was, which one they did not. He wisely said, okay, I'll cut the baby in half, and then you can each have the baby. And the true mother was discovered when she said, no, spare the child, give him to the other woman. Then he recognized that as the mother. Where did that wisdom come from? Well, it came from his knowledge of the law of God, and of course the Holy Spirit's help. Because the Holy Spirit works with the law of God to help you evaluate your choices, to help you decide what the wise choice is. And see how Solomon enforces his point. Enforces his point in the first part of verse 8. No man has authority to restrain the wind. No man has authority to restrain the wind with the wind. I'm sorry. I'm reading this wrong. No man has authority to restrain the wind with the wind or authority over the day of death, and there's no discharge in the time of war. This is what he sees. He enforces the point by pointing us to things that are pretty much inevitable. Death, for example. He points us to things like that. So no one knows God's law requires to recognize based on God's law that it's the wise thing to do, then do it at the wise time. And so he acts in obedience in an appropriate way and at the appropriate time because he wants to please God by obeying his law. But that, what we often stumble over in such situations is the question of the possible outcomes of our actions. We want to be sure. We want certainty. We want to know this is the right thing to do, and it's going to be all right. That's our chief concern in any situation, isn't it? The simple truth is, in verse 7, no one knows what will happen but God. No one. There is a proper time and procedure, but verse 7 says, if no one knows what will happen, who can tell what will happen? We can't be sure. No one knows but God. And ordinarily, God doesn't reveal to us what the proper procedure of time is. Why? He doesn't tell us the outcome, rather. He doesn't tell us the outcome. Why? Because we are to walk by faith, not by sight. That means keeping his law by faith. Trusting when we keep his law, the outcome will be exactly what God wants it to be. And then see how Solomon enforces his point again. There is a proper time and procedure for every life. No man shovels heavy upon him. If no one knows what will happen, who can tell him when it will happen? The answer is no one can tell when it will happen. We are therefore called to obey God's law and leave the consequences in his hands. And furthermore, he says in verse 8, no one, no one has authority over the day of his death. No one has authority over the day of his death. You can't dictate to God, I will die at such a time, not before, or no later. You can't dictate that to God, can you? We're called, therefore, trust God. We're called to obey God's law and leave the consequences in God's hands. If you don't know what the consequences of one action will be, you leave it in God's hands by faith. And if we die, we'll suffer loss. That is God's providence. We simply trust Him to work out what we cannot control. For example, Amy and his family looking to immigrate. They sent their papers in, but they clearly expressed to me anyway that they trust God would do the right thing. They'd let the consequences in God's hands. And that's the only sane way to deal with it. You can't control the outcome. Only God can do that. And the good thing is that you have a Father in heaven who loves you and will work all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And therefore, we don't have to worry so much about the outcome. We have to worry about, is God holy, righteous, and just? Yes, He is, and that's one less thing we have to worry about. We ask God to do the right thing. We make our requests known to Him, and it's up to Him to decide if that's the outcome we want to see take place. Furthermore, because we're committed to obeying God's law, we will not break the law to control the outcome. Look at the second part of verse 8. There is no discharge in time of war, and evil will not deliver those who practice it. The reference to war is a reference to the fact that we're in battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. The warfare Solomon refers to has to do with the evil one and his works in the world and the effects of man's sin. Solomon reminds us then that evil will not do it, evil will not deliver us from the evil of the times we live in. You can't break God's law and sin to combat the evil that sin has caused. That's signing yourself over to the other side. You don't do evil so that good will come. You do evil, you're going to find an evil result with nowhere else in God's hands. He'll discipline you if you don't try to use evil or sin to accomplish an outcome that you want. In other words, evil times and events never justify evil means to combat them. You can't fight evil with evil and be righteous in God's eyes. Doing evil will not deliver you from your inability to escape the spiritual warfare in which we're always engaged in this fallen world. No, the question is, do we believe Romans 8:28 or not? God does works all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Do we believe in the goodness of our God and His providence or not? If we do believe in it, then we can safely commit our future and the outcome of our actions into His hands and be sure that the right thing will be done by Him, even if it doesn't look good to us. In 18, my mother died. I wasn't ready for my mother to die in 1974. I was weak. I had no idea how to live in the world. I had to rely on her for decisions. Guess what happened? She took away the decision maker and said, okay, now deal with me. It took a long time for me to grow up. But I did. But God's goodness can be trusted. And He will do that which works out good. Which brings us to a more positive expression of Solomon's point about how to respond to life and the evil of it in the small world. I dwell a lot on the do-nots. Let's dwell on the do's. First, do remember you have an inerrant and infallible Bible of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture inspired by God and useful for review, direction, training in righteousness, for teaching, review, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be able to do all that God wants him to do. While by law Solomon undoubtedly refers to the law of Moses here, in the New Testament, as well as the rest of the Old Testament, we have the rest of the law of God as opposed to the Psalms and Proverbs, although even there, you have the law of God expounded in some of the phrases. But in the New Testament, the law refers to other non-prophetical books, you see. The law and the prophets are law applied in historical matter, just law itself. Thus God is provided with direct commands of what to do, and illustrations of how to apply the law, and what happens when you do not apply it to your life. You can read the law of Moses and get the law of God as it's supposed to be directed to you. Then you can watch how the lives of the Israelites, the Old Testament saints, and the New Testament saints, what happened to them when they did listen to the law of God, and what happened to them when they did listen to and obey the law of God. So the law of God is, again, the thing to be returned to. So remember, you have an inherent and valid Bible to guide you. Secondly, pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. You have not because you ask not, and Solomon has already made the point that wisdom is valuable in verse 1. Who is like the wise man, and who knows the interpretation of the matter? A man's wisdom illumines him and causes his stern face to be. We've noted that means he knows what to do, how to do it, so he goes forward with confidence to face the world. James tells us, if we lack wisdom, we should ask for it, and God will give it literally, meaning he'll give it generously. So by all means, study all you can the law of Moses and the rest of your Bible. Then ask the wisdom to apply it. By the way, when you're trying to learn how to use the Bible to help you live, you can hardly do better than read some of your things. This is a commentary on how to use the Bible. So, remember you have an inerrant and infallible Bible to guide you, pray for wisdom. Third, do not dictate to God what the outcome of your struggle should be. Don't sit there or kneel there or stand there and say, God, I insist that you do my will. Trust his providence as you obey what you know. Confess your sinful inadequacies, your unbelief and lack of trust in God. And ask God to respond to your efforts to be wise by granting you mercy, and then commit your soul and your future to God. So you see what we're saying? Make the Word of God, particularly the law of Moses, with the rest of the Bible, the ground of everything you do, the reason for what you do. Pray and trust God to be wise, don't try and dictate the outcome. And ask God for mercy. Make your soul and future to God. You see how this way of thinking and living is much better and more Christ-like than complaining, arguing with God, or committing sins to get by in hard times. Remember verse 2, which tells you to keep God's command, and then know what his command is, and pray for wisdom to know how and when to act in an evil time. I like the hymn that summarizes this very well. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Be happy in Jesus. Trust and obey. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you are wiser than we are.